Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Behold, your King is coming to you. It was with this cry that we began the church year on the first Sunday in Advent. And it's with this cry that we come to the sixth and final Sunday in the season of Lent. This cry calls us then and today specifically to draw our attention to Jesus, that he is truly our King, and that he truly comes to us. On both that first Sunday of Advent and today on Palm Sunday, the sixth Sunday in Lent, we heard and hear of Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem, which was nothing less than a royal entrance. On that first Palm Sunday long ago, he entered on the back of a young donkey. This is quite similar to the way that Solomon once entered into Jerusalem to be anointed the king over Israel. 1 Kings chapter 1 says Solomon rode on King David's mule to Gihon. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. Solomon entered on a mule to be anointed king. Jesus entered on a donkey, an entrance that meant something for the Jews. This was the entrance of royalty, a king. And as we heard, the people responded accordingly. The other gospel accounts tell us that the people laid their garments at the feet of the donkey, just as their forefathers had done centuries before when Jehu became the new king over Israel after the reign of wicked King Ahab. The people also took branches of palm trees. Not only did they wave them, but they spread them on the road as well. Again, like their fathers had done some 200 years before, when the Jewish priests Simon and Judas fought for independence from the Greeks. The people even praised Jesus as their king. They welcomed him as their savior, as the son of David, as the one who would deliver them from their enemies, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest." Even the Pharisees, Jesus' constant opponents, had to acknowledge their helplessness in the face of Jesus' popularity. They said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Despite all their threats, despite even their excommunications of those who confessed Jesus to be the Christ, they could not keep the people from receiving Jesus as their king. But as John tells us, even the disciples did not understand what these things meant, let alone the people. For Zechariah prophesied that this king who comes would be no ordinary king. "Your king comes to you," he writes, "humble." Jesus came, yes, as a king, yes, to be anointed, but not in the manner of normal kings. He came not on a war horse or in a chariot, but on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. For he came to be the true Solomon, the true king of peace. As he entered, he was accompanied not by legions of battle-hardened warriors, but by 12 apostles and many more disciples, among which were numbered tax collectors and fishermen, those who had once been blind and lame, even lepers, and many more. For he came not to be served, but to serve, and to call sinners to repentance. As we continue hearing about our Lord during that Holy Week, it's apparent that news of this royal entrance made its way all the way to the governor, Pontius Pilate. During Jesus' trial, Pilate asked him if he was in fact the king of the Jews. And after he had been sentenced to death by crucifixion, he wrote the inscription that was placed on the cross. this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Even when he presented Jesus before the Jews, he declared, "Behold, your King." But on that Good Friday, the Jews were not so ready to acknowledge Jesus as King, for his kingship was not so obvious to the eye and the ear on that day. Of course it wouldn't be. He testified to Pilate in response to his question, "My kingdom is not of this world." If Christ's kingdom was of this world, his servants would have fought for him to keep him from being delivered over to the Jews. But his kingdom is not from this world. And that's why Jesus, the King of Kings, indeed the very Son of God incarnate, entered Jerusalem to be anointed as king, anointed in death, anointed in blood. He was betrayed not for a king's ransom, but for 30 pieces of silver. That is the price of a slave, according to the book of Exodus. His kingly crown was not made of gold, but twisted together with thorns. His staff was a reed with which the soldiers struck him and abused him. His scarlet robes were not made of silk, but his own blood. His thorn was not of marble, but a rough-hewn cross. Pilate said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But on that Good Friday, Jesus' reign as king could not be seen by the human eye. His kingdom is not of this world. While the kings of this world exercise lordship over their subjects, Jesus instead emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, and that in order that he might give his life as a ransom for many. And indeed it was for many, for the whole world in fact. Jesus, the King of the Jews, who entered the city of Jerusalem as the true Son of David, came not only to save his own citizens, but everyone, even his enemies. He was lifted up on the cross, and there he laid down his life, that he might draw all people to himself, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, man and woman. The Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, took the place of every sinner. Even as we heard, the place of that notorious prisoner Barabbas, that those who were once in bondage to sin might truly become sons of the Father, which is what that name Barabbas means. Sinless one was crucified between two robbers, that those who justly deserve the sentence of condemnation might instead hear the blessed promise of eternity in paradise with Jesus. When all was finished, he cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit in the sight of a Roman centurion, that he might ransom a people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. In his royal and yet humble entrance, in his bitter suffering and death on the cross for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ fulfilled the scriptures, including that prophecy which we heard this morning from Zechariah, who foretold not only his entrance on Palm Sunday, but the blessed fruit of his suffering and death. He prophesied, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare to you that I will restore to you double." On the cross, Jesus shed his blood to establish the new covenant, the covenant of grace, with all who believe, that they might be saved not by their works, but for Jesus' sake alone. He died so that by the preaching of the gospel, peace with God for Jesus' sake may be spoken to all nations. He died so that in the waters of holy baptism, prisoners would be set free from their sins, from that waterless pit in which they dwelled. He died so that sinners would receive a double blessing in place of despair and hopelessness. That is refuge in the Lord Jesus and victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Behold, your king is coming to you. On that Palm Sunday long ago, the people heeded Zechariah's cry. They perceived that Jesus was entering Jerusalem as their king, and they hailed him accordingly. On Good Friday, when Pilate said, "Behold your king," it wasn't as clear, as Jesus suffered in meekness and humility and died between two robbers. Nevertheless, it was by this death that Jesus established his kingdom of grace, enthroned on the cross as the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And having given himself over to death, God has highly exalted him, raising him from the dead, never to die again, giving him victory over death and the grave forevermore. He is exalted above the heavens now, ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. And someday, on the last day, it will be plain to see, even more obvious than it was on that Palm Sunday long ago, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, even as every knee will bow at his name, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Some will do so and wail on account of him. Others will do so by straightening up and raising their heads, seeing that their redemption is drawing near. This will happen. Someday everyone will see with their own eyes the coming of the King, Jesus Christ. For he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. We all will behold him on that day. But for now, like on Good Friday, the reign of Jesus is not evident to the eye of the flesh. Now it is by faith, and faith alone, that we, his people, confess Christ to be Lord and King. By faith, we behold him as he comes to us now in his word and sacrament, his very body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. By faith, we sing like the crowds in Jerusalem, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." By faith, having received him as he comes, we depart in peace, singing like Simeon, that our eyes have seen the Lord's salvation, which he has prepared in the sight of every people. At the name of Jesus, our King, we bow in faith, for we are his servants purchased by his blood. With the centurion at the foot of the cross, our tongues confess, truly Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart we believe and are justified, and with the mouth we confess and are saved. This morning, in fact, in just a few moments, six of our young people will do this publicly. They will come and they will stand before you and before God and confess Jesus Christ to be their Lord and their King. They will confess that his word and his doctrine are truth. And they will confess that nothing, not even this earthly life itself, is more precious than their salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. More than that, they will soon kneel at this altar, and they will receive the very body to eat and the very blood to drink of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine given and shed for them for the forgiveness of sins. And in this, they will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, just as you do. Behold your King. Someday every eye will do that. Every eye will see him when he comes again in glory. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Today, however, the reign of Jesus is not visible to our eyes of the flesh. We, however, walk by faith and not by sight. And therefore on this day, O children of God, we rejoice greatly. We shout aloud, O brothers and sisters in Christ, for we behold by faith that our King Jesus comes to us today in his word and sacrament. We behold by faith that he has righteousness and salvation, gifts that he freely bestows upon us today, tomorrow, and even forevermore. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.